With Montana News, I'm Sherry Tressler. Barry Beach was released from prison today after Democratic Governor Steve Bullock signed a clemency order. Beach served 3 decades behind bars for a 1979 killing that he long denied. Beach was serving a 100-year prison sentence with no possibility of parole for killing 17-year-old Kimberly Knees in the small northeastern town of Poplar. Retired District Court Judge E. Wayne Phillips says the governor was right to release Barry Beach from prison, 4 years after the judge unsuccessfully sought a retrial in Beach's 1984 murder conviction. Democratic Representative Margie McDonald of Billings sponsored a bill in this year's legislature that gave Governor Bullock the power to overrule the state parole board on executive clemency cases. McDonald was happy to hear of Beach's release.
Well, I've been on pins and needles for a few weeks, and just so hopeful, and had my fingers and my toes crossed, and was just so thankful to the governor for having the courage to step out and do this.
Regardless of Beach's innocence or guilt, retired Judge Phillips says Beach proved he was reformed by staying employed and out of trouble when he was free for 18 months awaiting a new trial. Beach will remain on probation for the next 10 years. Montana's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate remained at 4.1% in October. The Labor Department says the state's unemployment growth is 2.1% over the past year. Compare that to the long-term average of about 1%. Montana's added 10,000 jobs this year. Labor and Industry Commissioner Pam Busey says an unemployment rate of about 4% is considered an ideal level. The cleanup of Libby's Asbestos Superfund site took a step closer to conclusion today when the Environmental Protection Agency released a final human health risk assessment, Corin Cates Carney reports.
The EPA's report concluded that it's possible to live and work in Libby and Troy without concern of suffering from the respiratory diseases associated with asbestos. It confirms findings released in a preliminary report 11 months ago. The EPA's Deborah McKeon.
The cleanup that we have been conducting for the past number of years is indeed protective, and that risks and exposures experienced by the population before the cleanup have been abated.
Usually an EPA risk assessment, like the one released today, is announced before cleanup work begins. The assessment then guides future work. But in the case of Libby, EPA officials didn't want to wait to start cleanups.
We had started doing the removals on the properties and in other business areas early on in the process so that we could mitigate exposures as much as possible.
In 1999, the EPA responded to requests from the state of Montana and Lincoln County Board of Health to investigate potential exposure to asbestos because of former mine operations in the area. In 2002, Libby was added to the Superfund National Priority List. Since then, the EPA has investigated more than 7,000 properties within the Superfund site for asbestos contamination, but is still waiting for access to another 700. The EPA encourages the remaining property owners to contact the EPA's Libby Information Office. EPA officials estimate another 3 to 5 years of cleanup in Libby. I'm Corin Cates Carney.
Scientists don't seem fazed by the discovery of a deer with a fatal neurological disease only about 25 miles east of Yellowstone National Park. A white-tailed buck taken by a hunter in Wyoming tested positive for chronic wasting disease on November 1st. Park wildlife biologist John Traynor describes CWD as a disease of concern that's been moving closer and closer to Yellowstone's boundary.
But there may have been animals that have already been in the park. It's just a very challenging disease to diagnose. And once it is detected within Yellowstone, we probably would increase our surveillance efforts with any road-killed animals.
CWD is contagious and found in deer, elk, and moose. It's caused by a misfolded brain protein that leads to chronic weight loss, lethargy, and eventually death. There are no known cases of chronic wasting disease transmitting from animals to humans. A Blackfeet council member was removed from office after authorities learned she was harboring a South Dakota man accused of child molestation. The Flathead Beacon reports that the Blackfeet Tribal Business Council voted yesterday to remove Councilwoman Cheryl Little Dog. Chairman Harry Barnes said that the decision to expel Little Dog came after a man was arrested in her house last month. Court documents say he was wanted for molesting an 8-year-old girl in March and has been extradited to South Dakota. Little Dog pleaded not guilty to charges of obstructing justice and threatening a public official after police say she interfered during the arrest. Smith River State Park will be implementing some changes in food storage regulations for the coming float season. Claire Bergeson reports.
About 5,000 Smith River travelers will be changing the way they carry their food and waste next year. The park was overwhelmed with bear incidents in the 2013 and 2014 float seasons, resulting in closing the whole 59-mile stretch of river for a week and killing 8 habituated black bears. To avoid the risks to both humans and wildlife, the 2016 season will require appropriate food storage. There are a number of ways to do so, like hanging food and waste from trees, using approved bear-resistant containers, and portable electric fences. Smith River Park manager Colin Moss says although these rules can be seen as a hassle, he thinks people will catch on.
You know, I think it's going to be like anything new that the public has to, you know, change, make a change, or adhere to. You know, there's always typically initially resistance at the beginning, but I think once folks find out that it's not going to be that hard for them to comply, I think we'll get fairly good compliance.
Instead of buying all new gear, Moss suggests getting a portable electric fence, which can be placed around travelers' current food and waste storage units. Applications to float the Smith can be sent in between January 4th and February 18th. With Montana Public Radio, I'm Claire Bergeson.
An appeals court upheld the 30-year prison sentence handed down to Jordan Graham after she admitted to pushing her new husband, Cody Johnson, to his death off a cliff in Glacier National Park. A three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled yesterday that federal prosecutors did not breach a plea agreement with Graham, who pleaded guilty to second-degree murder for Johnson's death in July of 2013, just days after they married. They also found that a federal judge was right in denying Graham's motion to withdraw her guilty plea after she was sentenced. Graham's attorney said that prosecutors unfairly claimed that Johnson's death was premeditated at sentencing and argued for a sentence in line with premeditated first-degree murder. The judges ruled that the plea deal did not prohibit such arguments. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Sherry Trussler.